This is City on the Hills podcast. We hope this message becomes a revelation in your heart and will encourage you to live a Christ-centered life. Thanks for checking out our podcast. Here's today's message.
Thank you, God. I thank you as well for open hearts. I thank you, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart will be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, God. In Jesus' name. Thank you for faith in the room. Lord, we don't want to just, like we just prayed, but we want to capture something of what you want to do, a supernatural. We're not here for the natural, we're here for the supernatural. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Great, guys. So we're going to go into, are you guys happy? Ready? Everyone happy? From the, yes, I pressed record, test. It is recording. And it's on 45 seconds. Perfect. Great. I'm just going to put this recorder on for backup. Wonderful. So Father, today, right now, we want to thank you that you are unlocking radical faith in hearts. We also want to pray for cities all over the world. We want to thank you that the cities, the city on the hills, the people of God will rise up in radical faith and be what you called us to be. Rise up and release the blessings and the gifts that you want to release through us, God. We pray for the families in our churches. Lord, we pray for the health of our people, especially those that are connected to us, God. Lord, I pray right now for peace. I pray for joy. And I pray, Lord, that we would be those that bring your life wherever we go. That we will be life bringers in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you, God, even right now, we can stand in the gap for our country. We can stand in the gap for even the churches worldwide, that there would be such a reality of your presence and your glory. And even as we come to your word right now, Lord, we want to receive what you have for us through your word in Jesus' name. Come and speak to us by your spirit. Amen. Amen. Friends, what a privilege to be able to be here today with you. I have a massive expectation. This Radical Faith series, I believe, is not only unlocking faith for moments, but it's unlocking faith as a lifestyle. And that's what it's all about. And I'm very excited about us as a church hosting the drive-through experience. We've been having so much fun. I want to tell you, if you haven't been to our drive-through and you live close to our city, come to our drive-through. We had people driving literally more than an hour long to get to our drive-through. They came from neighboring towns, and we've had people literally just weeping as the Lord has just blessed them and as the presence of God has just touched them. And so I want to ask you, if you cannot make our drive through, please be praying for us. And if you can make it, bring your kids, if you have kids, or just come open-hearted. Let's have some communion. Let's celebrate what Jesus did for us on the cross. Let's worship together and let's enjoy his presence as we connect with one another. But I'm so excited to get into part three of our Radical Faith series. And today we're going to be talking about leftovers. It's time for leftovers. It's time for leftovers at your word. And that's really the key, is when we have the word of God, we experience the leftovers of God. Now, I don't know about you, but I love leftovers. I mean, I don't know about you. I love leftovers. Now, here in South Africa, we do something called a braai. We don't do barbecue. We braai, right? So a braai is like a barbecue for the American people. But it's what we do is we literally, we put meat on the fire, and then we bring salads and all sorts of stuff, and we love doing that. It's just one of our things. It's one of the privilege of being living in South Africa, is we have got good meat. And if you haven't had a braai for a while, I'm praying for you. I want you to have a braai soon. But you know what? One of the best things, a braai is amazing, but there's one thing better than a braai. It's the leftovers afterwards. It's if you braai tonight, it's that leftovers tomorrow morning. It's that extra piece of steak that you made, or that extra chop, or that extra vorsi that you made yesterday. And you said, we made some more and there was leftovers. I love that. Think about it. Just think about leftovers. Think about if you had that big Sunday lunch. And then tonight, just at about 7:30, 8 o'clock, you're like, I want a piece of that roast that I had this afternoon. It's so nice. It's like it's a little bit better. It's like it's waited for you. I believe that God is the God of the leftovers. He's the God of the more than enough. He is the bread of life for us. And he wants us to have faith to feed from him and to be able to bring life and generosity to others. And we're going to look at Elisha literally bringing about over the abundance literally into a situation of famine. And let's go to 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 38 to 44. And so we see in 38 that Elisha returned to Gilgal. Now, he returned to Gilgal. Gilgal was the place where the Israelites actually got circumcised in preparation to take hold of their promises, their promised land. And I believe that even though we are facing a really challenging season, I believe that we need to constantly come to God, because now in the New Testament, we're not circumcised in the flesh anymore. We have the circumcision of the heart. We literally, what we have to do in this season is we've got to let go of the flesh. We've got to let go of our own strength, and we need to embrace the strength of God. If you want to experience God, do supernatural things, and you want to walk in radical faith, you've got to learn how to trust in God. It says in Proverbs 3 verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. The key to the season is to trust the Lord. The key to the season is to get rid of the flesh. The key to the season is saying, no matter what's happening around me, what's happening inside of me, is I'm going to trust in Jesus and not trust in myself. It says he returned to Gilgal, and there was a famine in the land. There was a famine in the land. It sounds familiar. Now the sons of the prophets were sitting before him, and he said to his servant, put on a large pot. I love this. He doesn't say put on a small pot. He says, put on a large pot. Hey guys, let's lift our expectations. I know there's famine. I know we're letting go of the flesh. But let's have a big expectation. Now, I'm here to say, friends, it's time that the Church of God lifts their vision up again. It's time that we trust God again for people's lives to be changed. It's time for us to say, Lord, we want to have a lot. We've got a big expectation for faith. We've got a big expectation for peace. We want to see you do supernatural things. Amen? Isn't that awesome? He says, we're boiling upon a stew. Now, I love this. You've got to get ready to receive. If you want to live by radical faith, get ready to receive. I love this. You know, when I come to God's Word in the mornings, I've learned this. Is I can come ready to just quickly do it, or ready to receive. If you come into a light group, are you coming ready to receive? Do you put on a large pot, or do you just have a small little pot? It says in verse 39, so one went out into the field to gather herbs and found a wild vine and gathered from it a lap full with wild gourds and came to and sliced it into the pot of stew, though they did not know what they were. And I find this, friends, in this time we need to watch what we bring into our pots. We need to watch what we bring into our lives. We need to watch what we bring into our marriages. We need to watch what we bring into our minds. We need to watch what we expose ourselves to. See, radical faith, people of radical faith are people that are very discerning and very selective on what they allow into their lives. What they allow into their diaries, what they allow into their sphere of thinking, and even the friendships that they allow into their lives. People of radical faith are very cautious. They're wise, and they're not fearful, they're just discerning. Hello? Pay attention to what you add to your life, friends. Pay attention. Listen, friends, you can be surrounded by prophets. You can be surrounded by the prophetic. You can be surrounded by the move of God. Elisha was there, the move of God. The prophetic was there. They surrounded with the prophetic, but he goes out into the world and he fills the pot with something that he doesn't know. Many have good intentions, but they try to meet their needs with the world, with the ways of the world. If you've got a financial need, don't do what the world does and just run to debt. If you've got a sexual need, don't run like the world run and they run to pornography. If you've got an acceptance need, or you've got a need of affirmation, don't do what the world does and they run to social media. I see how people fill their lives with the ways of the world, with the things of the world. They don't even understand what it does to them. No. We don't understand what it does to us because we do it. Verse 40. Then they served it to the men to eat. Now it happened, as they were eating the stew, that they cried out and said, man of God, there's death in the pot. And they could not eat it. Watch this. What you fill your life with will sooner or later become evident to everyone. Because people are going to come and eat from your life. Now the Bible says life and death is in the power of the tongue. Then those who eat it, those who speak it will eat the fruit thereof. You'll eat, people eat from your words. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what I fill my heart with is what's going to come out of my mouth. And I want to ask you, is life coming out of your mouth or is death coming out of your mouth? You need to decide. And so what I found was, I found that I can quickly know what I filled my life with if I listen to the words that I speak. If I filled my life with a whole lot of negativity and a lot of hatred and a lot of politics and a whole lot of nonsense, that's what I'm going to speak. And the problem is, when I speak those words of death, people taste it and they're like, there's death there. There's evil there. If you fill your marriage with manipulation, there'll be death there. There won't be life. If you fill your business with lies, if you have to lie to your clients in order to keep your business, there's death there. So when people come and eat from your business, they don't experience the life of God, they experience the death. Hello? It's amazing when you fill your family relationships and your friendships and even our churches, when you fill that with gossip and people come and taste from those relationships, there's death there. Verse 41 says, so he said, now I would think to myself, I've preached on this before, but I would think to myself, the way to do it is to tell people, stop gossiping and stop this pornography and stop this. And Elisha doesn't say, let's try and take the death out. I've learned that you cannot switch the darkness off. You cannot take the death out of a situation. If there's an issue in your marriage, or there's an issue in your workplace, or there's an issue in your own life and in your own heart, friends, the something doesn't just leave because you tell it to leave. You've got to fill it. You almost have to replace it so that it can no longer have room in your life, no longer have root in your heart. He says in verse 41, then bring me some flour. Now, flour is very significant, because I love how Jesus Christ is the bread of life. He's the manna that came down from heaven. He was born in Bethlehem, the house of bread. I love speaking about Jesus as the bread of life, because for them, bread was what sustained them. So if you want to know who sustains us, not the country, not the bailouts, and not the grants, no, what sustains us is the bread of life. The bread that came down from heaven. He says, then he said, put that bread, put that flour into the pot. See, when you put a revelation of Christ into that very situation that is experiencing death, that unrighteous deal that you've been dealing with, if you bring the righteousness of Christ in there, when you put the bread of life into that relationship that has had a breakdown, that's when he restores, and the death leaves when the life comes. Watch this. He says, serve it to the people and then they may eat. And there was nothing harmful in the pot. The Hebrew for that word death was also evil. And this harmful, that means there's no more evil. There's no more death in the pot. There's life now in the pot. I love this. I love this. It's like Jesus says, he says, I might look like I'm not enough. I might look that I cannot do it, but I've got a little bit of a loaf here and I brought some extra loaves for the second part of this preach. But I might look like I'm not enough. But Jesus says, when you add me, when you put a little bit of me into your marriage, when you bring me into the way you raise your kids, when you bring me into the way you do work, when you bring me into the center of what you do, everything changes. I mean, I'm amazed at how many people are still trying to stop sinning. Friends, you can't stop. In your own strength, with your own power, you're going to get it right for 3 days and then you're going to be back into it. You're trying to get rid of addictions. Now you're like, oh, I must stop. No. You know what you need to do? You need to fill that very need. You've got a need. There's a deeper need that needs to be filled with the life and the love of Christ. There's a miracle found in bringing Christ into my situation. Just show me Jesus. I need to see Jesus. I need to hear His word. I need to experience His truth. I need truth to come in to expel the lie. I need light to come in to expel the darkness. George Mueller said the following. He said, the vigor of our spiritual life will be in exact proportion to the place held by the Bible in our life and thoughts. The vigor of your spiritual life will be in exact proportion to the place held of the Bible in your life and in your thoughts. That means that if you and I, who is the Word? Jesus Christ is the Word. And so when you and I are finding ourselves in situations of temptation and situations of death and discouragement, what we need is we need to come to the truth of God's Word. Amen? You see, if there's death in the pot, God's saying, no, I want to give you life and life more abundantly. His name is Jesus, through His Word. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 4, that the enemy comes to tempt him and says, listen, if you are the Son of God, and literally tempts him. And here's the thing, friends, you and I are not exempt from temptation. Just because you are part of City on Hill doesn't mean that you don't have any temptation. And if you're not part of City on Hill, don't worry, we also get tempted. Just because you're a believer and Jesus Christ saved you doesn't mean you don't get tempted anymore. You still can get tempted. But look at how the Son of Righteousness, look at how Jesus Christ deals with temptation. He says to the devil, he says, it is written, Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, it is written. Friends, we need to learn how when we are tempted, how when our pots have death in it, when there's challenges, when there's discouragement, when there's disappointment, we need to learn how to say, it is written. I don't want to say, I think, or I hope, or that's what the news said, or that's what my president said. No, what the news says and your president says is secondary. This is primary. But did you hear what she said to me? Did you hear what my boss? Whoa. What is written? This is our highest authority. He says, man shall not live by bread alone. I love how he talks about bread. But every word that comes from the mouth of God. See, Jesus Christ says, listen, I'm coming to replace natural bread with supernatural bread. Man shall not live. There's death in the pot. Let's replace death with life. Man shall not live on bread alone, but every word, spiritual bread, heavenly manna that comes from the mouth of God. Amen? Wow. Verse 42 says, Then a man came from Baal Shalisha, and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits. Now, I love this. I just love the Bible. The Bible is so powerful because it's actually so amazing how everything, if you just under the power of the Spirit, spend time in the Word, everything fits together. I love this about the Bible. Even when you don't understand, don't worry, there's nothing wrong with the Bible. You and I just need to grow in our understanding. So what happens is this is I love this. I love this. They just put flour in the pot. Elisha's just now prophesying about Jesus Christ, saying he is the bread of life. And then what happens? This guy comes from Baal Shalisha, and he's got 20 loaves of bread. 20 loaves of bread. That he's saying, hey guys, I've come to bring you some food. It's in the midst of famine. But this is not any kind of bread. This is bread of the first fruits. Now, whoa, you need to get the revelation. 1 Corinthians 15 says that Jesus Christ was the first fruits among all. He's the first fruits. Not just of the fruit, he's the first. He's the firstborn, it says in Colossians chapter 1, and he's the first fruit. 1 Corinthians 15, watch this. He's saying, if you've got any need, if you want to walk by radical faith, the key to radical faith is you need to look unto Jesus, who's the author and the perfecter of your faith. You're looking for radical faith? You need to bring the first fruits, the bread of life, Jesus Christ, into your situation. And he is going to come and show you how he might not look like he's enough, but he's more than enough. He's more than enough. I love this. I love this. Elisha doesn't take... this guy brings him 20 loaves, and there's like 100 prophets. So the guy brings it to Elisha. Now, if I was Elisha, I'd be thinking, my man, oh man, pass my course black. I'm going to put this somewhere. I'm going to look after it because it's famine out there. These guys have their pot of stew. I know, I just sorted it out for them. They've got their pot of stew. I'm going to take the loaves. You know what Elisha says? Elisha doesn't take it because he learned something. He's a vessel. He's a channel. He's not a dam. He's a vessel. He's a vehicle for the blessing of God. He's not a recipient of the blessing of God. We're even going to look at this next week. It's powerful. Radical people of faith understand that it's not about them. If you want to live with radical faith, take your eyes off you, put your eyes on your God and the people he wants to bless through you. Elisha says, give it to the men. Now the guy from Baal Shalisha says, listen, watch this in verse 43. But his servant said, what? Can you say this after me? What? Sorry, thank you for everyone. But this is so funny. This guy's like, are you crazy? 20 little loaves for 100 people. Doesn't make sense. That's right. That's just like you said.
Jesus comes. He says, 5 loaves and 2 fish for thousands, 5,000 men with their wives and children. Hello? The disciples also went, what? They just didn't say it. But they just didn't write it. What? He says, shall I set this before 100 men? Watch what Elisha does. Elisha does not engage with doubt. He just speaks words of faith. He just says what he just said. He says again, give it to the people that they may eat, for thus saith the Lord. Now watch this. I love how the provision of God and the promise of God comes together. The word of God often comes with promises. The word of God, there'll be truth that God wants you and me to apply. And then with that truth often comes a promise. I love this about God's word. He says, they shall eat and have some left over. Woo, I like leftovers. He's promising leftovers. He doesn't say they're going to just have enough. He says they're going to eat and they're going to have leftover. See, Elisha understands that there's a prophetic moment here, that he's prophesying about Christ being the first fruits. He's prophesying about the true manna that came down from heaven. He's prophesying that man shall not live by physical bread alone, but there's a spiritual bread, the bread that's going to sustain us, the bread that's going to carry us, the bread that is beyond any government or any Bill Gates or any fund everywhere in the world. There's the bread of life. His name is Jesus Christ. Can you give him praise? Come on! And he says, this bread of life is not just there to be enough. We spoke about it enough previous Colossians series. This bread is about being more than enough. Watch this. See, now you've got a choice. You can either accept the promises of God or you can reject the promises of God. And I see too many people at the crossroad here where they do not step out in radical faith. They step out in radical fear. They step out in radical conservatism. They do not engage with radical faith. Radical faith says, okay, Lord, at your word, it doesn't make sense to me. This doesn't make sense. This, for 100 people, doesn't make sense. But I'm going to engage with the promise. I'm going to hear the word, and I'm going to do the word. Watch this. Verse 44. So he set it before them, and they ate. Watch this. And had some left over according to the word of the Lord. Isn't it powerful? They ate and they had left over. He's like, okay, we're going to have leftovers. I love this. Watch this. Watch this. He engaged with the promise. He did what Jesus said, or what Elisha said. He did what the word of God said. And he experienced the fulfillment of promise. It reminds me of Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, we see Simon Peter, professional fisherman. He's been fishing for almost all his life, because this was their family business. He knows fishing. He's been fishing all night. And Jesus comes onto the boat and he says, put out your net for a catch. And he's like, okay, whoa, 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 Jesus. You stick to preaching and I'll stick to fishing. Because clearly you don't understand, you know. There's a reality here. I've been fishing all night. And actually the way they caught fish at night. We understood that. If you study history, you'll know that they caught fish at night. That was the time when they got the catch. He's like, we've been trying all night, Jesus. He's almost wanting to say, what? You know, radical faith, it's not wrong to say, what? It's wrong to reject the promise and the word. Sometimes I act out in faith. I step out in faith. And in my heart, I'm going, what? But then I'm saying, okay, I'm going to do it, Lord. Honestly, friends, I've given financially, then my heart goes, what? And then I do it. I've forgiven people, my heart goes, what? And then I, radical faith. Hear this. Verse 5, but Simon answered and said to him, Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, watch this, at your word, I will let down the net. See, what this time, what this season needs, this season needs radical faith people. And radical faith people are not saying, I think I should. Radical faith people are, at your word, I'll do it. At your word, I'll set it before the men. At your word, I'm going to put out the net. At your word, we're going to do a drive-through blessing. I mean, people looked at me saying, what? And when I first saw it, I also said, what? Now we're doing the drive-through blessing and I'm seeing people being blessed. And I'm like, at your word, God. Can you give him praise? Come on, isn't that amazing? I don't know if you've ever felt this, like you've prayed so many times before and then Jesus says, pray again, and you say, Lord, I've tried. I'm not going to pray again. God says, pray again. How many times have you felt like you've failed in the past? You've tried everything, but now God is saying, reach out to that person one more time. Invite them one more time. Okay, God, at your word, I'll do it. Psalm 119 verse 162 says, I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. Now's the time, if you want to be a radical faith man or woman, now's the time to rejoice at God's word. Verse 6 says, and when they had done this, when he said it before the men in 2 Kings 4, when Peter them had done this, watch this. They caught a great number of fish till the net was breaking. Watch this. And their net was busy breaking. Their net was breaking. That means there's leftovers. There's more than enough. They had to signal, come and help. What? Now the what that they're saying is not going to happen. It's like, what? This is amazing. More than they could handle. I felt like the Lord, at times God would ask me to do stuff and then I would say, what? Think about it. Lord, that person really hurt me at work. I need to, you're saying to me, I need to forgive. Okay, at your word, I'll forgive them. Hey, Lord, giving money right now to my local church in this time, giving money to a local church, what? But at your word, I'll do it. The Bible says, bless those who curse you. I have a certain neighbor that was cursing me, and I wanted to curse him back. And then the Lord said to me, bless him. And my wife also, she was also in the form of the Holy Spirit. She says, bless him. And I wanted to go, what? I don't want to bless him. And I said, Lord, at your word, I'll bless him. How about giving thanks? Giving thanks in the season. When you feel like there's so little to give thanks for. There's so much to complain about. So much to be distracted by. And then you're saying, but at your word, God, I'm going to give thanks. You feel like, Lord, I have nothing. Lord, I don't know what to give thanks for. I'm going to give thanks at your word, God. Lord, I don't have hope for this country. I don't know, but at your word, I'm going to have faith. For my country, I'm gonna. At your word, what? I can't see this guy, but I'm gonna trust you for my country. Lord, I don't feel like serving my family, or serving in my community, or Lord, I don't feel like even serving with my church. What? You're saying I'm gonna serve? At your word, I'm gonna serve. That's radical faith. Hello, A.W. Tozer says, "Whatever keeps me from my Bible is my enemy." Listen to this. Whatever keeps me from my Bible is my enemy. Whatever keeps me from the will of God, love one another. That's what the Bible says. Forgive. That's what the Bible says. Very simple. Whatever keeps me from my Bible is my enemy. However harmless it may appear to be, whatever engages my attention when I should be meditating on God and things eternal does injury to my soul. I believe radical faith people are word people. Radical faith people say, Lord, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Radical faith people says, it is written. Even when my heart goes, what? I say, at your word, I'm going to do it. Because I want to see the little bit, the not enough become more than enough. I'm ready for leftovers. Are you ready? Let's pray. God, I pray right now. Every man and woman, if you're far from God right now, I pray that you would connect people far from you to your life and your love in Jesus' name. If you're far from God, maybe comment on this, or maybe you want to connect with a local church close to you, or comment and we would like to help you find a local church. If you're close to God today, this is your day to say, Lord, even though my heart says what, I'm going to say, God, at your word, this is the day where I'm going to engage with you. This is the day where I'm going to bring the bread of life into my situation. This is the day where I'm going to engage, even with not trusting in myself, but trusting in you, in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, even right now, as we engage, even right now, as we respond in worship, Lord, come and have your way. Come and have your way in this worship moment. May this not just be another song that we sing. May we experience your goodness and your grace and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us for today's message. Don't forget to check out our website or visit City on a Hill International on Instagram or Facebook for our updates, celebration times, or ways you can get involved. We are also streaming our message on Facebook Live, so make sure you join us or share the post. Thanks again for checking out our podcast. We'll see you soon.